We've been doing a bit of a series that is detailing some things from the end times, and so no surprise we're getting into the book of Revelation. And as we're doing that, maybe you have already caught this as we from what we've been doing, because I did, you know, did one message out of Daniel and nothing further there, and then one message on all of Matthew chapter 24, the Olivet Discourse, and there's so much there. And really, these messages are giving us an overview of what we're to expect at the end times. And so the hope is for it to whet your appetites, certainly, and get into the Scriptures more yourself. So we're going to take a shot at the book of Revelation this morning, and it's two-part. It's called Tribulation Part 1. So I'm going to be trying to cover basically the whole of the book of Revelation in two messages, which you can imagine, we're not going to get a whole lot of detail there. So we're certainly hope that you get some of hopefully the big picture helps. I know that sometimes people, they get into stuff like the book of Revelation and they get lost because there's so much strange imagery or there's different things going on that they're not sure about. And maybe the big picture will help bring it together for some of us. So let me just show you verse 1, because I want you to know the whole point here of the book of Revelation is Jesus revealing to the saints, revealing to his people things that are going to come. The book of Revelation to some people would seem very confusing. It's not meant for that. Its purpose is to reveal, to make some things clear. So it says, Revelation 1:1, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. So God has a purpose in mind that he does want to show his people what's coming. He proves in part about himself that he is a God who knows the end before the beginning. So it's not meant to confuse, but to bring vision. And unfortunately, you know, some people think I shouldn't even preach on this kind of stuff because it can seem confusing. We have a few different ideas. One person over here thinks the beast in the Scripture represents a certain person. Somebody over here thinks it represents somebody else. And now we've got division. But it doesn't need to. It doesn't need to. God has not given us his word so that we can have division. In fact, the Scripture says in the book of Proverbs that iron sharpens iron, which implies very much that as each of us are reading the Scriptures, we're bound to come to some different conclusions every once in a while. And as a church, as believers, as saints in Christ, we should be able to talk about it with each other and learn from each other and grow in our understanding of these things. So that's very much what we hope to do today. But those who would, you know, harden themselves, can't take a different perspective, that's dangerous and put them in a different spot. So Revelation is not divisive. It's not supposed to be confusing. I want to show you verse 3 because this is chapter 1, verse 3. It's the only book in the Bible, rather than being divisive, God promises that you would be blessed if you would study it. He promises a blessing. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So there's a promised blessing for anybody who jumps into this. That's what we're hoping for today. That's the plan. That's what we want to get. I've got to try and find it in my Bible here because I'm having a little problem with this. Okay, so as you can see from that scripture there too, not only does it promise here a blessing, if you were to dive in and study these things that God talks about at the end times in the book of Revelation, but he also says something else here in verse 3. He says, take it to heart. You see that? Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. That means God has a message for you. God has things that he wants you to understand about the end times and about him because he knows it. He encourages us, before we even get into this, take it to heart. That means don't dismiss it. Now, I hear this comment every once in a while from people. Because they find some of the end time things maybe confusing, they say they want to dismiss it. So it's almost like it's irrelevant. I'm not even going to be here for that. Who cares? It's irrelevant. No, the Lord Jesus encourages us from the get-go. Take it to heart. Don't dismiss it and treat it like it's irrelevant. So now for clarity, we jump to verse 9, and here we see the Lord Jesus giving us a bit of an outline of what we should expect to come in the book of Revelation. Verse 9, he says, I, John, your brother and companion, suffering in the kingdom of the patient endurance that is ours in Jesus. 19, sorry, I went to 9. He says, write therefore what you have seen, number one. What is now, number two, something that is now that you've seen, or something that you've seen, something that is now. and something that's going to take place in the future. This is his outline for how the book of Revelation is going to work. So the very first thing, the thing that you have seen. Now, in chapter 1, at the very beginning, what John gets to see is he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus exalted and lifted high in heaven. And this is the perspective that John gets. All that Jesus had done on earth, those things are done, but now he is seated at the right hand of God. He's on the throne in heaven. So what he sees is Jesus has been exalted. And he is God's Son reigning above all. So this is the platform to begin. Jesus is Lord. He's giving this. The glorified, risen Savior is giving this declaration. Now, the next thing he says, the things which are now. And there's a portion that we're not going to cover with much depth this morning, but it's certainly very interesting to get into. In chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, Jesus gives 7 letters to 7 different churches. 7 different churches that existed in the first century when John was getting this message on the island of Patmos. And those were the things that are going on now, in their day, first century. Here's things that are going on in the church today. And he gave messages to these 7 different churches. Most of them got a little bit of a warning, things you should be careful about. Many of them got some commendation. These are things that you're doing that are well, entertaining bad teaching from bad teachers. And though those same bad teachers don't exist today, but the same bad teaching exists today. And so we still need to be watching for those same things. Those are the things that are now. And the third thing he says, this is his outline for the book, after chapter 3, things that are going to yet come in the last days, in the tribulation. So most of the book of Revelation is actually written in sequential order. It says many times, you'll hear a phrase that happens. He says, John says, I was looking at this, God was showing me this, and then he'll say, after this, he showed me this, after this, he showed me this, and after this, these things happened. So what we're going to look at mostly today are these 3 sets of 7 portions of judgment that God's going to pour out. 3 different phases of 7 phases of judgment, right? And as he does that, he puts that out very sequentially. This set has to happen before the next set, and the second set has to happen before the third set. You've got your 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 bowls. With the 7 seals, there are 7 different judgments, then 7 trumpets, then 7 bowls. And it all comes together in sequential order. So the book of Revelation is given to us in order so that we can understand. Right in the middle of the book of Revelation, parenthetical information, which is just meant to bring some clarity. So we get into some of these judgments, and then he wants to bring some clarity. We're going to do part of that today. And at the very end of the book, he ends with very simple illustration. He talks about Babylon, and he's talking about a worldly system, like a worldly city, and the way that the devil is ruling and reigning on earth sums up in Babylon. And then he contrasts that to Jerusalem, and a new Jerusalem that comes out of heaven, and the very end with God's holy city and the way things are meant to end. So God is just putting in contrast. You can see the way the world works and the way the devil works with Babylon. And you'll be able to see the way that God works and his glory that he brings in Jerusalem and the new Jerusalem out of heaven. And it ends with Jesus' return and his glorious reign on earth. So there's the big overview that we're going to get. So this morning we're going to dive into these 3 sets of 7 judgments, the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls. And most of it is natural disaster and diseases. And you know, we're not going to touch on the details of those things too much. What we want to touch on this morning are, in the midst of these things, there are some political events that happen, which look to us a little bit more like signs of the times, the kind of things that you can see people doing, things that are happening amongst the people. But we're not going to detail those kind of things too much this morning. So we're starting out with chapter 6, verses 1. This is the beginning of it. Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2. He says, I watched, and the Lamb, that's Jesus, opened the first of the 7 seals. And I heard a voice like thunder say, come. I looked, and there before me was a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as he was going to conquer, bent on conquest. This is the first thing, this is the first major thing that he's identifying that is going to happen in that final 7-year tribulation period. And many people think this is the arrival of the Antichrist, rider on the white horse sounds very much like Jesus. And Antichrist is supposed to be very much like that, like a copycat Messiah. And this is what we understand is the beginning of the tribulation period, when Antichrist comes out and gets a crown and begins his rule. Now, I'm not going to show you all the verses of the things that we got to look at because there's so much, but when this is the first of the seven seals. And in the second seal, there's already a tremendous war. Some people think it's the war of Gog and Magog from Ezekiel 38. I don't know about that. But there's a major big war that happens right away in the second seal. And the third and fourth seals, there's famines and plagues. No surprise to follow right on the heels of a major war. Seal number 5, as the tribulation period is starting, and Antichrist has risen to power to bring peace, but yet we have this huge war that goes on immediately, and famine and disease everywhere, that there are some people who wake up from their slumber and rise up against him to try and stop it, and they are martyred. 6, you've got this global calamity, earthquakes and meteors. So to start out the tribulation, the book of Revelation is just talking about an incredible amount of chaos. Natural disasters, political chaos, wars, all of this right at the very beginning. And in the midst of this, there's this global chaos going on, and John sees at the beginning of chapter 7, an angel stops all the proceedings and interrupts what's going on. He puts everything on hold until a certain little job is done. Can we show me chapter 7 there, Seth? Verses 2 to 4. You see this little interruption. He says, I saw another angel coming up from the east. He had the seal of the living God, and he called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until, so we got to stop everything until this happens, until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. And I heard the Israel. So where are these people from? All the tribes of Israel. These are Jews. In fact, the later verses tell us there's 12,000 taken from each of the 12 tribes, and that'll total 144,000 people who will be servants of God through the tribulation, witnesses for Jesus Christ. It's an amazing time, but these people need to be sealed by God. They're going to be identified so that they can be honored by God and protected, and they'll have a seal on their head. And you see a direct counter later on in this same book, which we will look at just briefly later on this morning, when the devil wants to do a similar thing, but his mark will be the famous 666. So now once God has felt like he's got this done, he's got these 144,000 that he are going to use as his servants through this tumultuous time, and he's going to protect them. Now the tribulation continues on, and the first of the seven judgments, as they had wrapped up, where we saw the Antichrist rise and global turmoil and earthquakes and plagues and a huge war, and then these 144,000 witnesses were sealed. And now round 2. This is how these things work, where he has 7 seals, and at the 7th one, when he opens it, it opens up the next round of 7. So the next round of 7 is trumpets. When you hear that 7th seal open, it also says, when I open the 7th seal, I saw the 7 angels who stand before God, and the 7 trumpets were given to them. Then the 7 angels who had the 7 trumpets prepared to sound them. So this is what you get. It's just a tremendous amount of natural disasters is the bulk of what happens throughout these trumpets. Huge storms. Several times in these series of trumpet judgments, what you hear are meteors falling from the sky. Talking about meteors, literally the size of mountains. Massive. This is what is described in the book of Revelation, the things that are to come. It includes also a loss of 1/3 of all the stars in the sky. I don't know if many of you are old enough to remember that cartoon. Was this a little chicken that used to run around and say, the sky is falling, the sky is falling? This is going to be a time when people are going to look at what's going on in the world, and literally that's the impression people are going to have. The sky is falling. The stars are disappearing from the sky, and things like stars are hitting the earth. Meteors, the size of mountains. Now, by the time we get to the 5th trumpet, There have been three meteors the size of mountains already hit the earth. And then there's this one that hits the earth so hard, it's as though the earth's crust, something evil, crawls out. And I want to show you this. Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 to 6 and verse 10 and 11. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet. I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given to the key to the shaft of the abyss. And when he opened the abyss, smoke rose out from it like smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by that smoke. Out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions. They were told not to harm the grass in the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not allowed to kill, but only to torture for 5 months. The agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes. During those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. Verse 10 and 11 then, they had tails like stingers, like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people. For 5 months, they had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek it is Apollyon. That is, in English, he is the destroyer. An angel named the destroyer, who swarm the earth with stingers like scorpions. I don't know if you caught it, but I think it was about verse 5, the word torture showed up there. Torture. This is not going to be a pleasant time by any stretch of the imagination. This is a good time for me to pause. Now, I'm not sure exactly how the timeline of Revelation works out in these 7 years. As far as I know, this is still in the first half of the tribulation. If you know how that works, the Bible talks about the tribulation being broken too. We studied this the last 2 weeks, both out of Daniel and Jesus and the Olivet Discourse. They both talked about something that distinctly happens at the halfway point, when the Antichrist arises, or the abomination that causes desolation in the temple. So there's a distinct halfway point. And the first part of it is usually just referred to as the tribulation, with the second half being referred to as the great tribulation, implying that the second half is going to be much worse. So if this is just the first half of the tribulation, this is going to be a rough, rough period on earth, unlike anything anybody has ever known before. Now the second round of seven judgment ends with the sixth trumpet. I'll just show you that, verses 13 to 16 of chapter 9. He says, I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is, said, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of the mankind. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. The Euphrates River is so large, it has served as a natural boundary in Asia, between Eastern Europe and Asia, that people could hardly cross. And it served as a natural boundary for centuries. The scripture talks about a day when it will dry up so that an army could go across on horseback. Some of you already know that even in our day, the Euphrates River right now is drying up. I saw an estimate just this week that said by 2040 it'll be gone. By 2040? It's only 14 years. And the pictures I've seen are dramatic that show how much change has happened there. Are these times coming soon? We don't know. If you read further on, in chapter 9, you will get a very, very evil description of what these 200 million riders are like. So what we're seeing is a very clear pattern. Of the seventh seals opened, it started the next set of seven. Seven trumpets started immediately right after that. And there are seven more yet to come, and those are bowls. But I told you at the beginning, starting in chapter 10 till chapter 14, you get a little bit of an intermission. Before we get to the bowls, God's going to stop and he's going to give a little bit of clarifying information and pause. It's a possibility that this signals the midpoint of the tribulation? I don't know about that. It's just a possibility. So here I want to show you some of these little clarifying points just as we close up this morning. I want to remind you, back to chapter 7, verse 3 and 4, when God spoke about the 144,000 servants that he was going to have, and he was going to mark them, put a seal on them, put a seal on their foreheads, the servants of God, so they would be protected by God, known by everybody, and honored by God. Now the devil in his character, he's just a copycat. You guys know what Jesus referred to him as? He said he's a thief. The thief only comes to steal and to destroy. He's a thief. The devil can't do much on his own. He doesn't have any innovation. The devil doesn't have any creation like God has. All he can do is copy and mock the things that he's seen God do. And that's what he likes to do. So God has taken his people and he wants to put us to steal. So in this little intermission period here between chapters 10 and 14, we see this in Revelation 13, verses 16 to 18. He says, "The beast forced all the people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast, or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and that number is 666. Now God wants to put a mark on his servants during this time, to identify them, to honor them, and to bless and protect them. The devil wants to do a similar thing, and he will put a mark on everybody else, but he doesn't have such nice intentions. His intentions are the exact opposite. He wants to use fear and coercion because he said, well, you can't buy anything, you can't sell anything, you can't live unless you have it. So he uses the exact opposite type of motivators that God wants to use. You recognize that it says there, 666, says it's a number of man. What is God's number? We're going through the book of Revelation, same number. Keeps showing up all the time, over and over. Seven, seven, seven. God does this. Seven, seven, seven. And the devil comes short. It's six, the number of a man. The devil's just a thief. So in this little intermission, which is also going to have to be our intermission, and we will pick up some of the rest of this for next week, but let me just show you this one thing that I thought was interesting. The intermission period here in the book of Revelation is from chapter 10 to 14. We just looked at 13, but I want to jump to the beginning, chapter 10, show you this interesting little thing that happens. Revelation 10, verse 4, and it says, pardon me, when the seven thunders spoke, now I assume he's speaking about the trumpets that he was just hearing, trumpets sounding like thunder. When the seven peals of thunder spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said, and do not write it down. So John is receiving these messages from these seven peals of thunder, and a powerful angel interrupts, and he says, don't record that. For all the things that he did record, you can only imagine what he's saying to him, don't write that part. Is that something that we can't handle? Or is that just something that's not for us to need? But let me show you this, as we just jump to verse 9, he's told him to quit writing, and he hands him something. He gives him this little book. So he says, I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll. And he said, take it and eat it. It'll turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it'll be as sweet as honey. He's given this little book to eat. And I can only imagine what it is. The best I could guess is it's the very things that he had been writing down, this book of Revelation. And he takes it, and it tastes sweet. But it has a, well, you've heard the expression, bittersweet. Sweet in his mouth, turns his stomach sour. What in the world is going on here? For a believer, when we think about the end, there's a sweetness to it. Because our God, he marks those who are his. He blesses and protects them. It's the others who are left running about with these to the devices of the world and the devil and the 666 and this kind of business, these are the people that are to be greatly pitied and who are in tremendous amounts of trouble. So for a believer, this message can come and it can be, yes, Lord Jesus, come. How sweet it is to think, but it is bitter because the end is brutal. Judgment is going to come. And judgment is going to fall on people who ignore God. You know that God is speaking. God is speaking today. God spoke yesterday. He's going to speak tomorrow. He wants your attention. He wants you to live for Him. He wants you to follow Him. He wants you to prepare your heart and your life to be His for all of eternity. And for those who ignore, God's judgment is going to come. God doesn't tell us these things so that the end judgment, just so that we can recognize it when it comes, so much as we can avoid it. The trick is, get right with God today. Get right with God today. Church, we're going to wrap it up. And so I'm just going to invite you, if you would, say a blessing with me and a word of prayer. Thank God for what He's revealed to us.